Good morning.
We want to welcome you here today to First Baptist of Edna. If you're our guest today, we do have a perforated portion of your bulletin here. We'd love for you to fill it out and put it in the offering plate so we'd have a record of your visit. But also, we'd like to welcome Mr. Tim Williams from the South Texas Children's Home. He's going to be our speaker today. So thank you for coming, and we welcome you here. Because of the Labor Day holiday, there will be no evening service tonight. If you show up, then just have a prayer in the parking lot and then go enjoy your family. Okay, but no evening service tonight. Okay, next week on September 11th, starting at 5:30 p.m., at the same time that we're having our service in here, we're going to be beginning a children's choir, grades 1st through 6th grade. Okay, that's next Sunday at 5:30. 1st through 6th grade, we'll be meeting in the music suite, which is just right down the hall there from the fellowship hall. Fellowship hall, kitchen, and keep going down the hallway there, and you see the music suite. Okay. And parents, you're strongly encouraged to bring your children, and then while they're in there singing and doing what they need to do, you come on in here and join us for service. And whenever service is over, that's when children's choir will end also. Okay, so there'll be no way. You can just go back and pick them up. So we hope your kids will join us with that. Lucinda Cummings will be directing that. We also have Sharon Whitley and Courtney Ritter are also going to be helpers on that. So we hope you let your kids come and be a part of that. So that's next Sunday. Okay. There are several other announcements, so please read your bulletins. And at this time, I'd like to ask our brother Robert Clay Martin, deacon, to come up and do our deacon's prayer for us.
Let's pray. Father God, you are holy, you are mighty, you are wonderful. Thank you for allowing us to come to this place, Lord. Thank you for your son Jesus. Thank you for taking our punishment on the cross, Lord. Lord, we look forward to the day when you return back, Lord. Thank you for our brothers and sisters here, Lord. Please be with our brothers and sisters that aren't here right now, Lord, that are sick and are hurting, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for the rain. Lord, we thank you for Brother Robert and Sister Laura, and ask that you heal them, Lord, and bring them back refreshed, Lord. Lord, we ask that you remove anything from our minds that's not you this morning, Lord. Clean us out, Lord, and be with Brother Williams as he brings your message, Lord, and help us to receive it with open hearts and ears, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we just thank you. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Would you please stand and sing as we begin today with In Christ Alone? Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, his gift of love. Righteousness scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ.
was slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the ground he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. Him lies first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. Power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here is the power of Christ, I'll stand.
Amen. Our next song will be Jesus Messiah.
He became sin who knows no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, the name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His blood is the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out all for love. The whole world trembled, the veil was torn. Love so amazing, love so amazing, yeah. Jesus Messiah, the name above all names, the Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. in you. All the glory to you, God, the light of the world, Jesus Messiah, the name above all names, blessed Redeemer.
The Lord of all. And our next song is going to sing of that. We're going to be singing Majesty, hymn number 215, if you're using your hymnals. Okay, let's sing Majesty. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Mass, our majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from His throne unto His own, His anthem raise. His Majesty, Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Amen. Amen. Okay, Living for Jesus, hymn number 282. For Thee alone.
my sin and His grace. Such love constrains me to answer His call. Follow His leading and give Him my all. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne, my life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of His smile. Seeking the lost ones, He died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in Him. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne, my life I give His for to live, O Christ, for Thee alone.
Bury heads with me, please. Father God, I thank You for this day. I thank You so much for the opportunity to come to Your house and worship You with our church family. I thank You for blessing us with rain this week. I thank You for quenching the thirsty land. Lord, I thank You for all the blessings You pour out on us every day. Help us to mean the words of that song, to allow our hearts to be Your throne, to live our lives for You, not for ourselves, not for our own goals, our own ambitions, but to honor You with everything that we do, to do it wholeheartedly. Father, I ask that You help us to show our gratitude for all that You bless us with by giving back to You through this offering. Bless these people for being here, being faithful to You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, I come, I confess, now in here I find my rest. Without You, I fall apart. Guides my heart. Lord, I need You. Oh, I need You. Every hour I need You. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need You. Sin runs deep, Your grace is more. Where grace is found, it's where You are. Where You are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need You. Oh, I need You. Every teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. My righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Amen. And thank you, Sheila, for covering there. That was not how we practiced, so Sheila, thank you very much.
Well, good morning. It is good to be with you and to share a word with you. Let me just say, first of all, I know that you have heard me this year, and you've heard my coworker Kyle Luke this year not too long ago, and y'all filled his truck up with all kind of donations that we took at South Texas Children's Home or Stitch Ministries. Thank you so much for doing that, and thank you for being a part of that. But I know it's Labor Day, and you know, I grew up between Yoakum and Victoria, and I have relatives here and grew up coming here for different things. So I know this Edna is full of hardworking people. A few quick updates from the time I was here with you last, and I told you about a couple of new things that we're doing. We will open our new counseling center in Victoria for clients this month. There will be a move-in date next week where we won't see clients, and we'll put things together. And then at some point along the way, after we've gotten everything up and running, then we'll have an open house, and we'd love to have you come and see that and be a part of it. It is just a place for counseling, but the need for counseling continues to grow and continues to be to the verge of overwhelming. We could use more counselors. We could use more people who are called to that to help people as they walk through the trials of life. I mentioned to you about Bluebonnet Youth Ranch and opening it now as a home for single moms and their kids, another home for families. It's at capacity. It's full. And so thank you for what you have done to help us to be able to step out in faith and to do a new venture and to take on a new task that we had not seen coming and to be used of God, to be used to bless people who are in crisis, who are in need, and who are struggling. So thank you for that. I will use all those numbers just to bring it down to one person that is an update to as well. On that video, the young lady you saw on this far side here, it'd be my left, your right, in the graduation gear and the Honor Society stuff, she and her older brother and older sister came to us from a very, very difficult abusive situation. I could not even begin to describe it to you. You wouldn't think it was real if I did. They came to us very far behind in school. Now, she graduated her valedictorian last year. And this year, just a few weeks ago, actually, in the summer, end of the summer semester, her older sister graduated with a master's in social work, which she intends to use to work with abused children. So you see that God has brought around full circle some difficult circumstances, some pain and difficulty to bring healing and bring hope, and not only to just to bring that, but to bring his work through that. God is at work, and we thank you for joining us in that and being a part of that. And we pray that you will continue to help us as we pray that we will continue to help those that God brings our way. Part of my job with Stitch Ministries is, yes, I do this, but I work with churches and pastors. Basically, my job is, description is, you're the church guy. So I deal with churches and I deal with pastors. And about 3 weeks ago, I went out to Uvalde And I sat down with the pastors there that were in that association and just listened to them and heard what they're saying, which is far beyond anything that you see on the news and that the media will pick up. But God is working there. It is a slow, gradual work. And it is often fraught with all kinds of difficulties and things that we cannot begin to imagine. But one of the things they asked is that this Sunday be a day of prayer for Uvalde in churches, and that we would help spread that. So that's what we're about to do now. I will just say this. This week is when Uvalde is scheduled to go back to class in school. Can you imagine sending your kid back to school in Uvalde, Texas? Can you imagine not having a kid to send back to school in Uvalde, Texas? So there's a lot of hurt, there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of anxiety, there is a lot of work that only God can do. And so we need to take time to pray and ask God to do what He can do in this worst of worst situations. So would you join me as we pray together? God, I thank You that You have been at work in Uvalde, and You are at work even in this. You are Lord over all. And You alone are the way that we have to deal with the sin of man. There is no human solution. There is no way that we can work up what needs to be done in a situation like this. But we know that You are already at work to heal and to guide and to minister and to move and to bring people to You. Not that this was good, but You work all things together for the good of those who love You, who are called according to Your purpose, according to Your promise in the book of Romans. We cling to that today, and we pray that for our brothers and sisters in Uvalde and for those people who are in churches and for those teachers who will go back to classes full of kids who are scared and face their own fears as well. For many people who are grieving and angry at the loss that they have suffered, only God, You have an answer to all of those things, but You do have answers. You do have a son that was also brutally murdered, but was raised to life. And because of that, we have hope. And we have a life to share that is above and beyond this world and anything that we can experience in this world or anything we can work up in this world. So today, Lord, help us to join with them. And throughout this week, would You remind us to pray for the people there in another small town, in another part of Texas, who have suffered something that we cannot begin to imagine. But Lord, You have a way, and You have a purpose, and You have love, and You have healing, and we pray that You would work it in and through the churches there and the people there and in all this community. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me get to the heart of what we're here to do today, and let me ask if you would take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 13 through 14, and we're just going to look at two verses of Scripture today from the book of Matthew and see what God would have us to say, hear, and understand that He is saying to us about this. So let's read these words together. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow, that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Let me just say in another translation, that last verse could also be translated this way, but small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Very simple words, but a very powerful picture. Father God, we pray that Your word would speak to us, and You would speak to us through Your word, that we would gain the right picture of this life that You call us to and the power that is in it, that You would reveal to us things that we cannot see. And today we would see things we haven't seen through Your word. Guide us into this life that You call us into, this narrow way, and we pray for help in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just say a word, too, about Brother Robert and my opportunity to be here with you today in his illness and his sickness. I'm around a lot of pastors, and I find very, very few who are as good a shepherd and as loving and as kind as he is. He is a person who always has your best at heart and always will do the best for you, and that's why he is not here today. And with that being said, it's hard to find guest preachers on a Labor Day weekend, so you're stuck with me. But he always does his best, and usually we'll get that together. We look at this passage today, and let me just say some personal things about it. And really, I have been a senior pastor for 27 years. I have preached many times through the Sermon on the Mount, which this is from. But until recently, I never preached this. And let me give you kind of a picture why. It literally is a picture why. When I was growing up, I had, like everybody else in those days in the 60s and 70s, a black covered King James Version Bible, because that's all there was back then. And so in it, the only thing that I could find different from my parents' Bible and anybody else's Bible were the pictures that were in mine. Now, there was no such thing as a kid's Bible back then. It was just a King James Version Bible. But there were pictures in different ones, in different ways. And so in my Bible that I got when I got baptized at the Hope Baptist Church, there was a picture of this verse. Of all the things in the Sermon on the Mount, there was a picture of these two verses. Now, let me kind of try to paint you a picture of it, because where we're going kind of has something to do with that. So I'm going to try to paint a picture from behind it, and you can try to visualize this. You're going to use your imaginations today. So I'll try not to make you work too hard. But the picture of this verse, of these two verses, was it was a biblical scene. And there was this huge arched way that was open in this great wall, this great stone wall. And if you've ever seen pictures of the gates and the walls in Jerusalem today, it was like that. It looked like that even to this day, because those were pretty ancient walls. But it would have this great archway, and it was open, and there was this downhill road that led through it and into it, and back through the arch you would see like a marketplace where there were people, and there was a market going on, and there was even, I think, a band, and people were singing and dancing, and it was a great place. And there were all these people who were walking downhill through the gate and into this great city, and they were in their biblical garb, and they were bringing camels full of things, and there were all this throng of people walking together into this great city. But if you were to go over to the right, this wall would continue up, and it would continue up the side of a steep hill or even a mountain. And the wall would not be as great, but it would continue up and kind of wind its way around. And you would see this small little trail that was going up to that one little place in the wall where there was a small gate, the size of a door. And there was a person there opening that. And there were just a few people scattered along the way, along this hard uphill trail. Now, you couldn't see if you were on the trail past the wall, but from the perspective of the picture, you could see that the trail went on past the wall and up around the side of a hill, and you couldn't see what was there. You couldn't see where you were going. You couldn't see the destination. Where you could in the city, there was this great throng of people and a lot of great-looking things happening. I would look at that picture as a young believer, and there were things that I liked and things that I understood, and there was one thing I didn't really like. And I think that's maybe why, as I look back on it, I really didn't preach this. It didn't really speak to me until just recently, that almost everybody in that picture was alone going up that trail. I didn't want that. I didn't really like the way that made me feel when I looked at that. I could get the picture of what the artist was trying to say. I have looked for this online, and I thought, hey, it'd be great, you know, to really show this picture, and you wouldn't have to paint this picture. But I have Googled and Googled and Googled this, and I cannot find it. And I've come to the conclusion, I'm so old now, that the stuff of my childhood is not even findable on Google. It's gone. Maybe it will be dug up some year by an archaeologist or something. But Jesus is trying to paint a word picture here as he draws the Sermon on the Mount to a conclusion. He has just given people the golden rule. And I won't say what it is because you're going to have to look if you don't know what it is. But just the verse before it, verse 12. And then he says, okay, this is the life I'm calling you to. This is the way we're going to live. We're not going to live like the world lives. It's a different way you're going to have to walk if you want to walk the life that I'm calling you to and to live it out. And so he gives us this word picture. And so it's not so important what the picture in my Bible had. It's the word picture that Jesus paints in our lives and our hearts. And that's what I want us to look at today and to try to draw some things out of this. This life on this narrow way that Jesus is talking about. Because he's trying to give us very clearly, Jesus was always honest. He was always up front. He never tried to say, it's going to be this, and then it turns out to be that. He's saying, it is going to be this, and it is not going to be that. Right up front, so you know. And he's saying, this life I'm calling to is not going to be easy. You're going to face times where you're not with the crowd. And there are going to be times where it may feel like you're all alone. And it can be an uphill climb. And it is not the most popular way. But let's just look at some things that he says about this and look at beyond this. Because we could look before this and we could look beyond this to this life that Jesus called people to and this life that he lived out. And let's look at some biblical examples of why we can see, okay, it's not this, but it is going to be that. And to understand what picture he's trying to paint. One of the things we could say here is, this life that he's calling us to, it is not popular. But it is personal. It's not popular. Jesus didn't try to say, okay, someday there's going to be hordes of us all together, and we're going to overwhelm everybody else, and we're going to have the power politically and nationally and everything else. He never said that. But what we do find when we walk this way and when we follow him, we find it's really personal. We don't see that. When you look at the picture and the picture in my Bible of everybody going up the hill, and there, I think everybody was alone. I don't know that there was anybody with anybody else. They were just kind of straggled out across that little trail that goes up the side of the mountain. And that is something I struggled with. But when you live the Christian life, that's not exactly what you find. That it can be very, very personal. Yes, Jesus is trying to say up front, you're not going to just follow the crowd to follow me. There's going to be a day you're going to have to make a decision to go your way and let the crowd go their way. And it may not be popular for you, and it may not be easy for you, and there may not be people who like what you do and who may look down upon what you do. And as we live in this world that is growing darker, that children of the light are going to stand out more. And so you're going to get some of this. So this is why it's important for us to understand what Jesus is saying here. And now, this is not popular, but it's going to be very, very personal. What we find when we walk that way, when we get on it, though it may look like we are alone, we're not. We are never alone. Let's look at an example in the Bible of what we may be facing today and what others may be dealing with and how we may be dealing with it as well. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, you find these people trying to follow God thrown into a hostile environment to their faith, to their background, to their relationship with God. And they're trying to pull them away from it and to the God of their nation and of their day. And so when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are the only ones of this huge throng of people who refuse to bow down to the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has made, basically of himself and of this kingdom, that he is to be worshipped as their God, and they are to have allegiance to him and him alone. When they do not bow down, they are all alone, it seems. And they are thrown into a fiery furnace that is so hot that the soldiers who throw them in because they would not bow down, they themselves are killed in the flames that shoot out. But when Nebuchadnezzar looks into the fiery furnace, he doesn't see three, he sees four. They had no idea that they would encounter someone else in the fire, but they did. And Nebuchadnezzar would look and say, I see four men walking around and one looks like the Son of God. It is interesting he would use those words. He would see they are not alone. And he would call them out, and they didn't even smell like smoke. They didn't know that going in, but they encountered it there. Fast forward to years later, Daniel, as an older man, again in a similar circumstance with a different king, you're to worship or to pray to only the king and to his causes and to his ways, and he refused to do that, and he was caught not doing that, and so he was thrown into a lion's den. And the next morning, the new king came and asked, Daniel, are you still there by some miracle? And he said, yes, an angel of the Lord shut the lion's mouth. He didn't see that going in. Nobody saw that going in. He encountered it along the way. And even when Jesus, at this point where it looks like in Scripture he is the most all alone in his life, as he is praying in the garden, knowing that Judas, his betrayer, and armed troops are coming to arrest him, and his disciples, though he has urged them to pray and stay awake, they are fallen asleep, and he seems all alone. But Luke has this one little verse in chapter 22, verse 34, that says this: an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. That's all it says. That's all we know. We don't have much of a picture, but we have the truth. We are never alone. Even when we go against the flow, even when we have to take a stand against the crowd and what is most popular to everyone around us, it is a tough decision, but we don't do it without someone there. Yes, it may seem like this is not popular at all, but when we walk it, we find it's very, very personal. One of the things Jesus said before he ascended into heaven to make sure that they understood this, and he gave them this great commission to go throughout the world and preach the gospel, teaching everything that he commanded, and baptize them in the name of the Father, and the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit, and I am with you always. Because it's not always going to feel that way. I don't know where you feel alone. I don't know where you've had to make a stand that was not popular, but is what your faith, your relationship with God led you to make and led you to follow. But know this, even if you feel alone right now, you are not. Even if you have had to take a stand in a classroom or in a workplace or even in a family where others question you and ridicule you or just scoff at you, you are not alone. You may feel that way, but do not let your feelings guide you. This way, yes, is not popular, but it is powerful. And in your fiery furnace, in your lion's den, in your garden, you're going to find you are not alone. Don't let my hesitation that I saw from an artist's picture take you away from the truth of the picture that Jesus painted, not just with his words here, but with his life. I am with you always. Always. It's not popular, but it is personal. There's another thing, that it's this and not that, that he tries to get across and that I think he wants us to see. This is not easy, but it is empowering. The way he calls us to is a way of a unique effort, not effort of our own, effort of our own strength to make it happen, but it is not easy. It is not something we're going to think of or something we would naturally do, but when we get on it, it is empowering. We find a strength to do it as we go along. Jesus never sugarcoated anything. He never tried to sell somebody. He tried to talk you into doing this and then tell you this other part that you didn't know. He gave us this all up front, that this way is not going to be easy. The way is hard, he would say. But what we find when we walk it is there is a power that comes with it. There is a strength that goes along with it. Jesus would tell his disciples this in John 16. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. He didn't say you will overcome the world. He says, I have overcome the world. Take heart. Our connection with him is where the strength comes. Let me just say this new idea or this new finding and this new understanding that I have had of this verse also goes along with this sort of a new clarity I have of a statement that I read every year. I read through Oswald Chambers' My Utmost for His Highest every year. It is fresh and new to me every year. I keep seeing things that I have not seen before. It's not that that replaces the Bible, but it helps me to go along with it and kind of gets me into an understanding of what this is all trying to tell us. And there was a statement from Chambers that I struggled with for years. And every year when I come to this place, it would be something I just don't know if I go along with him there. And this year, for the first time, I really read it and I read what he said next. And I see it in a new light. Here's his statement. God does not give us an overcoming life. He gives us life as we overcome. Now, I would read that, and there would be a little bit of me that would say, yeah, it almost sounds like God helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible, by the way, okay? God does not help those who help themselves. The Bible doesn't say that. Jesus is not saying that. He is saying, if you connect with me, there is a power. Here's what Chambers went on to say a little bit later in this same place, in the same day. The strain of life is what builds our strength. And then he would say, and once we face the strain, you will immediately get the strength. And as I've gotten older, that's what I have found. That God gives us an overcoming life as we get to the place where we've got to face something we've got to overcome. It doesn't come before it. It doesn't come in a way that, oh, I can see how this is all going to work out. I have a 5-year plan for my future, and I know everything God's going to do all along the way. None of us have that. None of us are offered that. It does not exist. But what we are offered is strength along the way. This way is not easy, but it is empowering. When we go on it, what we don't see is the strength that comes along the way and the strength that we find in the moment that we need it, not before. And we find it is not our own. It is something he gives to us because he is with us. Here's another biblical example of this. There are two very discouraged and defeated disciples who are walking home from Jerusalem. They have seen Jesus crucified. The hope that he is the Messiah, was the Messiah, would be the Messiah, is gone. Their own national leaders have helped in this, along with the Romans, and they feel utterly defeated and disillusioned and disheartened. And so they are walking to their little town of Emmaus. And in the gloom of the late evening, a third person comes and walks with them. And they are prevented, or perhaps cannot see, it is the risen Lord. Because it's been 3 days. They'd given up hope. But of all the people in all the world, he chooses to walk with them and talk with them. And he asks them what they're talking about. And they say, well, the things that happened in Jerusalem. And Jesus says, what things? And they stop and they look at him and they say, haven't you looked at your phone lately? What's going on? Don't you know? Everybody knows this. Jesus was crucified. And from that point on, he leads them to understand how God would send the Messiah who had to suffer. And he had to go through things. This way is not easy. And when they invite him into their house, it was only there that when he broke the bread for their meal, that perhaps there was enough light or their eyes were opened and they saw him. And then he was gone. But they talked about this and went back to the disciples. We have seen the risen Lord, and our hearts burned. There was something there that is not of us. There is a power that we have now that is not ours. We were at the end of our ropes. Everything we had hope in was gone, but there was a power that came to help. And maybe you're in that place in your Christian life and in your walk. God gives strength for what you are facing today, not for tomorrow, but for what you're facing now. And you know what? Sometimes we worry and fret about things that we'll never face. And God doesn't give us strength for things we're not going to face. He gives us strength for the things that we do face, that we are facing. We can trust him for it. And where we can see dark clouds coming, where we can see things in the horizon, and we can see problems with people ahead, we can know that in that moment and at that time, he will provide the strength. Even in our deepest gloom, our deepest defeat, he can make our hearts burn with a strength that is not our own. And that's what we find when we walk this way, but we don't find it unless we walk this way, unless we walk with him, unless we go this way, unless he is empowering and moving us. Quickly, a third thing. This is not easy, but it is empowering. And this life he is calling us to, hear this carefully, it's not about just arriving at a destination. It is about how we enter and walk along the way. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks a lot about this life that we are called to. But he doesn't give us a real clear picture of the destination, because the journey and the entering is what's important in that moment. And how we enter is how we live. And how we go through the narrow door is how we walk up the trail. And that's what he wants us to understand. This journey that we take, yes, it requires guidance, it requires strength that he provides. But this journey is mainly about something that is not of us. It is about responding to something that is of him. Responding to the gospel. That I cannot make my life work on my own. I cannot be good enough. I cannot put it all together. I cannot put it back together after it has fallen apart. My only hope is responding to what God has done for me through Jesus, and dying for my sin, and giving me a power over sin in a resurrected life that can only come through Jesus. That is my hope. That is my way. I only experience that along the way. I'm not going to see that before I enter in. I'm not going to see that from the outside. That person that's at the door can't see what's on the other side. It is a step of faith. But when we do take that step, we find that he is there. And it's about this way that we are journeying with him. Yes, there is a destination, but just like the artist in the picture, you can't see what's on the other side of the mountain, on the hill. He's given us glimpses of it, but we can't see it clearly. But what we can know along the way is he is with us, and there is strength, and there is power, and there are things that we face that we have to overcome. But when we get there and get through it, we find it's worth it. Let me just give you a biblical picture of this. In Mark's gospel in chapter 10, he talks about a rich young ruler who comes to Jesus. And he is ready to leave the ways of the world. He is ready to leave his life behind. He is ready to say, Lord, I will follow you. I will do anything you tell me to do. And Mark describes that Jesus looked at him and he loved him. And then he told him something that absolutely shattered his world. Go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, come and follow me. He didn't say that to everybody. He didn't say that to many people. This is really the only person we have who he said that to. And it just says he went away sad because he had much. Because Jesus knew what was in his heart. And he gets right to the front, and he gets right. The place where you need to make a clear decision is right now at the entering of this. And this is what it's going to come to. I'm going to tell you right now what it's going to come to. You're going to have to get rid of all these things that you think you have but really have you. You're going to have to leave this life that you think you have of this element of this rulership or loyalty or royalty over people. And you're going to have to be people's servants. And the young man who thought he was ready wasn't ready, and he walked away, and we have no record that he ever followed. What would have happened if he did? We can find that out. We can see that from other people who did. And this would have happened if he would have actually done that. He would have found, in the end, it was worth it. It was worth it. Because we realize at some point we're going to have to give it all away anyway. We can't take it with us. And we realize along that, when we begin to do that, you know, this wasn't mine. It really wasn't mine anyway. It was all given to me. It is God's, and it's his. And I need to do something with it. And then we would have found that third thing, or he would find it as well. It was worth it. Paul said, everything I have given up for Jesus, I found so much better. And I've considered it as loss, it's trash, to be thrown out to the curb and taken away for the sake of knowing Jesus. But that's the place we have to come to. Is it worth it to me to follow him now? We are on one of these two paths. Everybody in this room, you're either on this downhill, broad path. You can drift and go to it. But this other way, you only get there by making a decision. You only get there because you're following a person. You only go that way because of faith. And maybe that's what he's calling you today. Or maybe you're on that way, but the way is hard. The climb is steep. You don't see what's around the bend. Can I tell you that he is with you? And you're going to find him? And it's going to be worth it. But today, would you decide? Father, we come today and we recognize we see so little. You try to tell us so much that we cannot grasp. But help us to grasp this day, this moment, this time, where we are with you and what is the next step to take. Father, today, I pray that you will help this church because we need to encourage one another. We need to find ways to help one another in this climb. And there are those who feel all alone and are overwhelmed. And today, Lord, help us to be an encouragement to them. But for all of us, help us to take the next step on this journey with you, to follow you, to the life you're calling us to, the life that only you can give to us, the life that we can only experience because of Jesus in this world and in the next. And we thank you, Lord, that's possible for every one of us who would turn from our sin to your life, who would turn from our way to this narrow way you're calling us to today, and we would find life in Jesus. Help us to take that step before we leave here today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is "The Nail-Scarred Hand." Let's stand together. Let's sing. I'll be here at the front to help you as we decide.
Okay. I'm going to change the invitation that's on there. We're going to be doing 307, "Just As I Am." And Brother Tim and Brother Joe will be down here. The altar is open if you need to pray, if you'd like these men to pray for you, or if you have a decision. If you have not accepted Jesus, now's the time if God's laid that on your heart. As he said, the way is narrow. And if you're standing there thinking, he cannot accept me for what I've done, he can. He can accept you, and he can accept me just as I am.
Just as
Father, Lord, we just thank you for the day that we've had in the house of the Lord. Brother, Lord, we just thank you for Brother Tim and the message that he's brought. Father, we ask that you go with us this week and bring it, keep us safe. And Lord, all those that are with us, either through sickness or gone on the road for the holiday, Father, we just ask that you heal them, your will be done in their lives, and bring our congregation back to us and safe. Lord, we just want to praise you and thank you for who you are, Father, that through you that we can have everlasting life, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing the second half of "Majesty" as our closing song today.
So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Worship. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
God bless and have a great week.